So I'm going to be talking about open fracture management and basic principles and I think some stuff you know, all should know. I think most of you are familiar with the real basics. Many of you have been involved in these cases, managed them, but I think that it's of course something that is the source of a significant amount of disability. When these are not managed properly, they can lead to numerous surgeries and can lead to significant problems for patients and don't make you look good either. So let's go over some of these the basic principles. I mean, number one thing is to understand the importance of early antibiotics, right? So I think that has been shown to be one of the determinants that obviously very simple to do on paper and has been shown in studies to decrease infection rates. And the problem really is making sure those patients are identified, antibiotics are readily available, and there are systems in place to make sure they get administered. So, this is the kind of thing where if you think about it, a systems approach to practice where you have protocols in place, you have operations functioning such that if a patient comes in with a potential open fracture, a hospital, an ER is set up in such a way that they're not going to miss the opportunity to identify it, know what it is, recognize that antibiotics are important, and then have the antibiotics readily available to administer. So I think it's worth saying that, especially for those of you going out in practice. And you've seen here at Temple, we've sort of set up an open fracture best practice guideline. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, either email me or check your emails. I've sent out our protocol in the past. It is a document you should all have downloaded, preferably on your mobile device. Put it in your iBooks or some type of Dropbox or whatever, because you'll need to reference it. It's also in the SharePoint if you're on a desktop PC in the hospital. And there's a summary table. I mean, you can certainly look through it, but there's a summary table, and it goes through what our guidelines here are at Temple. And we have a open fracture order set that tries to use those best practices and implement them in a systematic manner. So I think that's one of the first things to keep in mind. And of course, making sure patients get early antibiotics is the first order of business. The other thing is understanding how often they need to get antibiotics, what's the duration of antibiotics, which antibiotics. And without going into details, I'd encourage you to look at the protocol because I want you to be aware of it and the details are in there. But of course, basic stuff, type 1 open fractures, type 2 open fractures, typically, they're going to get ANSEF. And some of the type 2 fractures, GENT can be considered as a weight-based dose. And then ANSEF and GENT for type 3 fractures. The duration for type 1 and 2 is usually 24 hours after wound closure. And then the type 3 is typically also for 24 hours after wound closure. Although, as you know, in many of the type 3, like the type 3Bs, wound closure or wound coverage may not happen for days or even weeks. What about debridement? Well, timing of debridement is controversial, right? We don't have great data saying that you have to take open fractures within a certain amount of time. I mean, I think customary treatment is to treat these as emergencies. We still do that here. You will potentially go to places where open fractures are like first thing in the morning case, not an overnight case. I think it's probably better to err on the side of, treating them as an emergency. And then, if it shouldn't go, can't go, you sort of recognize what are the reasons and, you know, sort of justify that. So, you know, a patient comes in, it's a type 1 open fracture, they've got a lot of medical problems, and they are, seem to be issues that really need to be addressed. Or if patient's really hypotensive, it's not that horrific, dirty of an injury or anything. I mean, those are cases that I think you're completely justified to say that, you know, we need to address all this, and potentially the case can wait. But I think on I think we are right in erring on the side of caution, because a lot of times you're talking about something, there's a junior resident who's making the evaluation, there's trauma team that's, you know, that's not their main job, you know, they don't treat fractures, and you know, it's something that you, again, you have to err on the side of saying, well, maybe this is something we should, you know, just say it's operative, it's got to go tonight, and you know, if it can't, you have, you know, good reasons why it shouldn't. And you know, we're not particularly set up at our institution where you could just take any case that comes in and just say it's going to be a 7:30 a.m. start. I mean, we have a trauma room, but it's got cases booked in it. You know, we don't have these infinite number of rooms of two or three things come in at night to just make them all 7:30 starts. So it becomes a practical issue also to just, you know, not do it at night and just say it's going to just magically be a 7:30 case, you know, start. I mean, sometimes we can make that happen, but I don't think you can, at least where we are, have a systematic practice like that. So, you know, other principles, you know, when you take these patients for IND, you know, a lot of people say it shouldn't even be called IND. It should be called a debridement in irrigation. Well, why is that? Well, it's because the debridement, that is removing devitalized tissues that can become a nidus for infection, is important. It's probably more important than the actual irrigation. What about irrigation? Well, irrigation we know is important. You know, it's usually, you know, a lot of people feel like the solution to pollution is dilution. And I think that does help, but I think sometimes we rely a little too heavily on just saying, well, just, you know, wash it out. Just, you feel good about it, right? You feel good about just washing something out and feeling that that's just getting rid of everything. But it really only plays a small role, you know. Soap, antibiotics in the solution. You know, most recent evidence-based data suggests that, you know, maybe none of these are, even soap is not that much better than just saline. So generally we use saline. Generally we use low pressure, although, you know, there still may be a role for high pressure irrigation in certain circumstances. But we've certainly made a move towards mostly low pressure irrigation. You know, like I said, debridement stabilization is important. This is the reason why open fractures are, you know, often fixed, is because, you know, if you don't fix them, you have these bone ends repeatedly, you know, traumatizing the soft tissues, not providing a, you know, environment for good soft tissue healing and potentially promoting infection. So that's one of the reasons why we stabilize open fractures, is to you know, stabilize the bone, but to some degree stabilize the soft tissues, allow the wound not to have you know, bone fragments unstable, causing more damage. So so that's why we stabilize. Other thing to keep in mind as we wrap this up is that you got to think about dead space management, right? Antibiotic beads, not a bad thing. If you have a big open wound, if it's a dirty wound, if you know you're not closing it, it's not a bad idea. Throw some antibiotic beads in there. You know, obviously make sure the patient's not allergic to them, but generally speaking, you will probably help your patient out. And many people don't think about this on the day of the initial debridement. So keep that in mind, especially if you have a dead space or a void, or, you know, some type of gap, or there's been bone loss that you had to debride, devitalize bone fragments. Not a bad spot to put some antibiotic beads in there. And eventually you may put a spacer if there's a big defect. You know, wound closure, it's probably also worth saying a few words about. You know, it used to be that you never closed an open fracture. Now it seems like we close all of them whenever it's easy to do. But certainly I think, if you have any question, you can close over a drain. When in serious doubt, then you should, you know, probably not close an open fracture, put a vac sponge or something to seal off the environment and, you know, get your plastic surgery colleagues involved. So I think I've kind of gone over my time here, so I'll stop here, and I'll possibly make another podcast on more advanced topics relating to open fractures if needed. Thanks.